Love bade me welcome. Yet my soul drew back, guilty of dust and sin. But quick-eyed love, observing me grow slack from my first entrance in, drew nearer to me, sweetly questioning if I lacked anything. A guest, I answered, worthy to be here. Love said, you shall be he. I, the unkind, ungrateful, ah, my dear, I cannot look on thee. Love took my hand, and smiling did reply, who made the eyes but I? Truth, Lord, but I have marred them. Let my shame go where it doth deserve. And know you not, says love, who bore the blame? My dear, then I will serve. You must sit down, says love, and taste my meat. So I did, sit and eat. You may well recognise that beautiful poem by the 17th century poet George Herbert. I did put a couple of copies there in the pews. If you don't have one, there are some more at the back if you'd like to take one with you. I can't remember when I first read that poem, but ever since I did, it's always been one of my favourites. I love the imagery in it. I love it that love invites, cares for, guides and feeds. It's a poem full of poignancy, isn't it? But probably the most poignant thing of all is, as so often is the case, not what Herbert says, but what he doesn't say. He has no need to tell us that love in this poem is God. And I think that George Herbert's way of naming God as love like that is quite helpful when we are trying to understand love as it's presented in our Bible readings today. In the reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, in verses 1 to 3, we heard that without love, all the gifts of the Spirit are as good as worthless. What use is having a gift of wisdom or prophecy or even having a strong faith if we don't have love? The Apostle Paul tells us that all the gifts of the Spirit, which we can read in the preceding chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the gifts of the Spirit are wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, performing miracles, prophecy, discernment of spirits, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, all those gifts are useless unless we have love. But what does that mean? What is love anyway? What kind of love is Paul talking about here? And we all know that there are lots of different kinds of love, the sensual or erotic kind of love. That warm, fuzzy feeling that we get when we love something or somebody. We love our pets. We get that warm, fuzzy, happy, uplifted feeling, don't we, if we just look at something that we love. I love a beautiful sunset. It makes me feel great. I think that's a kind of love. You might get that feeling when you look at a beautiful flower or a toad or anything that you love. We all have different ideas of what's lovely, but the emotional response we get is the same. It's an emotional response of love, something we feel. Or, of course, there's love that's action. When we love certain people, family members, children, dear friends, anyone, or it might even be something inanimate. We might love the environment and show our love in our care, in our actions, in the things that we do. We don't necessarily experience any warm fuzziness like we did in the first kind, but we act out our love. And both these kinds of love are wonderful. They're both to be found in the New Testament. But this kind of love that we read about in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that's a different kind of love. This love isn't something we feel or something we do. The love described here is the sort that we heard about in George Herbert's poem. It's a divine love, love that is God. In verses 4 to 7, there's that wonderful list of love's attributes. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love doesn't envy. It doesn't boast. Love's not proud. Love does not dishonour others. It's not self-seeking. It isn't easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love doesn't delight in evil, but it rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. How many of us can say that we live by all of those things all of the time? Well, if we're honest, of course none of us can. It's beyond our capabilities as human beings to claim all those attributes for ourselves. But this divine love, which does have all those attributes all of the time, is described here as a gift. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit, and it is possible for us to grow that gift of the Holy Spirit within ourselves, and so begin to display more and more the attributes that love holds. We know this because of what we read in our second reading, the passage from John chapter 15, where we see it's not only possible to do that, but Jesus even tells us how we can do it. In verse 9, so John chapter 15, verse 9, Jesus says, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love." Well, some translations of the Bible don't use the word remain, they use the word abide. And I like that word abide, and I think it's a more helpful way of seeing the true depth of meaning in Jesus' words there. When we abide in Jesus' love, that love takes on a whole new meaning. It's not something we try to do or an emotion that we feel. It's divine love. We are living in the love of Jesus. It becomes part of who we are. We abide in the love of Jesus. How absolutely wonderful. Sounding fantastic, isn't it? And it gets even better than that. Jesus wants this for us so that we can be completely fulfilled and happy. Verse 11, "I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." This is all sounding absolutely fantastic. It's sounding so good, it might even spill over into that warm, fuzzy kind of love I was talking about earlier. Well, I'm sure you know there's a but coming, because there always is, isn't there? And this is a good example of why we should never read sentences in isolation from the Bible. It's always good to read what comes before and what comes afterwards. Here, in verse 9 to 11, yes, Jesus makes it clear to us that he loves us just as his Father loved him, and he invites us to abide in that love. But, and this is the really important bit, because here he tells us how we can get to abide in that love. And it's very clear. In verse 10, he says, "If you keep my commands, you will abide in my love." And he goes on to tell us which command in particular will grow and nurture that love. In verse 12, Jesus says, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you." Well, I'm sure you all know the story of Jesus Christ, and I know it, and it's all starting to sound a bit scary, I think. How did Jesus show his love for us? Well, apart from healing the sick and befriending really horrible low-life types of people and washing people's feet in complete humility and loving and forgiving even the people who hated him most, I mean, all of those things he did for people who were alive at the same time as he lived on earth, right? But for us, what did he do for us here today? Every one of us here in this church, everyone who's ever been born. This is what he did for us. He sacrificed himself. He allowed himself to be arrested and humiliated and tortured, and he suffered the most hideous and painful death. He suffered all these things and more as he went down into the depths of hell. Hell itself, so that we don't have to. So that we can turn to God and know that we will be forgiven for the things that we get wrong time and time again. Not because we're bad, but because we're human. That's how Jesus loved us. It's how he still loves us. Jesus sacrificed himself so that we can say we're sorry, so that we can be forgiven, so that even though our bodies will die, we will live forever in perfect peace with God, who created us for that purpose. He did all of that because of his great love for us. What an amazing love! And this amazing, powerful, divine love is a gift to us. It is a fruit of the Spirit of God, which lives within us when we abide in that love of Jesus. And yet, that command, love one another as I have loved you, should we be scared of what's being asked of us here? Well, before you go running out of church screaming, I'm not ready to be a martyr, of course we're not all called to be martyrs. That would be ridiculous. But we may all be called on to make small sacrifices. These acts of self-sacrifice that we make as we love one another, showing forbearance, forgiveness, compassion, empathy, thoughtfulness, wisdom, when we give people our time and our attention, that's demanding. That takes a certain amount of self-sacrifice. And yes, we are called to follow Jesus' example of humility and care for others. But I don't want to mislead you here, because I think we must be careful not to fall into the trap of feeling guilty when we don't manage to be like that, when we don't manage to do those things, when we don't manage to behave perfectly all the time. Remember that list of love's attributes. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love doesn't envy nor boast. It's love that's not proud or self-seeking or easily angered. It's not us. We can't. Not all of the time. But that's the point of today's lesson. If we try to gain all of those attributes for ourselves all the time, we're probably setting ourselves up for failure. And we're going to heap guilt upon our heads. But if we turn to Jesus and accept his invitation to abide in his love, if we ask the Holy Spirit to abide within us, the fruit of the Spirit will grow. It's like a tree that bears fruit. The tree doesn't try to make the fruit grow. The fruit grows because it's growing on a healthy tree. It's just what fruit does. On the other hand, if we think we're doing just fine, doing everything in our own strength, and we refuse to recognise Jesus, if we turn our backs on his love, and we don't allow the Holy Spirit to work through us, it's like having a tree that might look really good, might have strong roots and good branches, but its fruit never grows. It's going to live its life, frankly, being a bit of a useless fruit tree. And there's a fair chance that it will just wither and die. Yet, yes, the command is to love one another. And this command, it's not a precondition to receiving God's love. God loves us anyway. It's a response to that love. In laying down his life for us, Jesus became the source of our love. As we abide in Jesus, the Holy Spirit abides in us. The Holy Spirit bears the fruit of love, and that fruit will grow within us as we respond to that love. Loving one another is a natural outworking of being loved by God. The invitation is there for us all. Will you respond to God's love by loving others? Will you allow the fruit of love to grow within you? Love bids us all welcome. Come, sit, eat. Taste the fruit and watch it grow.